Well, let me give you all a very warm welcome to our service of worship this morning. I want to include all of you who are watching along at home. This is a momentous day for our congregation, our first worship service of worship here since March. It's also our first live streamed service we've ever taken part in together. We can't promise that it will all go without hitch, without any problems, but we are certainly trying our very best. Our call to worship this morning comes from Psalm 122, verse 1. I was glad when they said to me, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." With those words in mind, we come before the throne of grace in prayer together. Let's stand. As we pray, let's pray. O Lord, our God in heaven, we join with the psalmist this morning in saying that we are glad to go to the house of the Lord together, and it fills us with joy and thanksgiving. We return our thanks, O Lord, for how you have clearly protected and preserved us since we last met. O Lord, you have been so gracious to us. You have given us so much more than we've deserved, so much more than we've expected. For many, we have found these past months to be a time of strengthening, a time of encouragement, a time of growth in our personal lives, in our family lives, in our spiritual lives. We thank you, O Lord, for technology, and we thank you for the resources that you've made available to us. We thank you for the online resources particularly that have been so helpful to us these past months with online services and online prayer meetings. And, O Lord, we bless and praise you for that. We thank you, too, for the gift of friends and family. We thank you also for the provision from our government in providing a furlough scheme for many. And Lord, we bless and praise you for these acts of kindness and love, which we recognize to come ultimately from your hand. But, O Lord, for others, these past few months have been very difficult indeed. They have been lonely. They have been difficult. They have been financially pressuring. They have had implications upon our health. They've been found to be stressful and anxious. We pray for those, especially in our congregation and connected to our congregation, who've been bereaved these past months. And Lord, we pray, continue to pray for the McNeil family, the Milligan family, the McVeigh family. We also think of the Ray family. And oh Lord, we pray that they would continue to know your grace and peace in abundant measure. And we ask that as we've returned, some of us, to this building for worship this morning, that you would calm our hearts, that we would be still and know that you are God. We pray for those who have come with anxiety and uncertainty in hearts. And Lord, we pray that you would help us in this hour of worship. We pray for our children. And we ask that as they learn again how to sit in church and listen in church, we pray that you would be gracious to them. We pray for parents who have come in worried and anxious about that, and we ask that you would draw very near to them. And, O Lord, we pray that the technology would work sufficiently, that the live stream would be working, and, Lord, we commit all of that to you, and we pray your blessing upon those watching along at home. Lord, we ask that you would build us up in our strength, that you would increase our faith, that we would know the bond of love and peace together as brothers and sisters in Christ. How we thank you that you sent him to come and live and die and rise again for sinners like us. We pray these things in his name. Amen. Let's read the Word of God together. It will be coming up on the screen as well. 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 from verse 11. First John chapter 3 We're going to read verses 11 to 18, and then the last couple of verses from chapter 4. So chapter 3 from verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brother's righteous. Do not be surprised, brothers, that the world hates you. We know that we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. Whoever does not love abides in death. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. But if anyone has the world's goods and sees his brother in need, yet closes his heart against him, how does God's love abide in him? Little children, let us not love in word or talk, but in deed and in truth. And then chapter 4, verses 20 and 21. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from him: whoever loves God must also love his brother. So reads the living and abiding Word of God. We're going to come now to pray once again together and join together in praying the Lord's Prayer. This is something when the collective part of our service has been minimized. This is something that we can do very safely, just in our own talking voice, just reciting and joining together in this prayer, which has been designed to pray together. The very first line makes that abundantly clear: Our Father who art in heaven. This is the traditional version. It's probably the most memorable for most of us. And we will join together. I'll lead us. We'll remain seated for this. I'll lead us. Let's pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. We come now then to the preaching of the Word of God. Let me just turn on the recorder. Well, I've been anticipating this moment for many, many weeks, being able once again to minister the Word of God face to face to at least some of our church family here in Newton Ards. Of course, lots of questions needed to be answered first. When could we meet, for instance? How should we go about meeting safely, sensibly? And what would our services look like? How would we manage the social distancing? And of course, as you can imagine, a big question for me was what to preach on. What to preach on? Many verses and passages have come to mind. For instance, Psalm 122, verse 1, our call to worship: I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. Or Psalm 92, verse 1, it is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Or Romans 1, 11 and 12, I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you, that is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith. Or even 2 John verse 12, I hope to come and talk to you face to face so that our joy may be complete. Maybe in due course we'll come to those verses. But this morning, it seems to me a different note needs to be struck. Yes, we have thanksgiving, rejoicing in our hearts. Yes, we're delighted to be together again. But we are not all together this morning. We are not all here. Hopefully, if the technology is working sufficiently, there are dozens of our church family watching along at home, and others as well watching. And the issue in almost every case isn't that they are unwilling to join, but it's that they're unable to join at present, either due to capacity issues or legitimate personal circumstances. And it's with that separation in mind that we come to the Word of God this morning. And we want to consider one of the pictures, one of the images that the Bible uses to describe the church of the living God. It's been pointed out, every single picture that the New Testament uses to describe Christians is a collective picture, corporate picture. For instance, the Bible talks of the church as a body under one head, or a flock under one shepherd, or a building founded on one cornerstone, or a family. A family with one Father in heaven. And that's the image we want to think of this morning. The concept of family. For New Testament believers, this was their favorite way to describe one another. Over 200 times, Christians are described this way in the New Testament. Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters. Very often in our Bibles, the word used is brothers, but grammatically speaking, it includes sisters as well. And that's the image we want to have in our minds this morning. The fact that we are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And it's my conviction this truth should permeate our thinking and our behavior in these weeks of phasing back into public worship. That this should be the overriding principle in our relationships with one another as we gradually get back to gathering together again. So let me make two main points, and most of you won't be surprised to hear that under each there's a few sub-points, a few minor points we want to make. So firstly, as brothers and sisters, we are members of the same family. As brothers and sisters, we are members of the same family. Now, this is, of course, one of the key core truths of Christianity. The Bible tells us when we believe and trust in Jesus Christ, when we're converted, we're immediately adopted to become children of God. And what a wonderful truth that is, friends, that we are children of God. What love He has lavished upon us. And we're brothers and sisters together in the Lord, one big family. And just like in any earthly family, where there are common, there are things in common with being in the same family, so being members of the family of God means we have quite a bit in common. Let me mention three things we share as brothers and sisters. For one, we have the same Heavenly Father. We have the same Heavenly Father. We've been born again, adopted into God's believing family. We have the same Father in heaven. We have received the same sovereign, adopting love. Ephesians 1, verse 5, in love, He predestined us for adoption to Himself as sons through Jesus Christ. So as brothers and sisters, we have the same Heavenly Father. And just think, as Jesus taught us to pray in the Lord's Prayer, Our Father in heaven. We should have this awareness then, whether we are together or apart, God is not just my Father. He's not just my Father. He's our Father together. We have the same Heavenly Father. A second thing, we have the same older brother. We have the same older brother, Jesus. Romans 8, verse 29 describes Jesus as the firstborn among many brothers. He's our older brother. Maybe you've always wanted an older brother. Jesus, he's your older brother. We shouldn't miss the fact Jesus was the one who gave the emphasis to this first in the New Testament, this brotherly, sisterly language. Mark 3, 35. Whoever does the will of God, he is my brother and sister and mother. Or Matthew 28, verse 10. He said to the woman at the tomb, Do not be afraid, go and tell my brothers at Galilee, and there they will see me. This morning, he comes to us by his Spirit. He speaks to us through his word, and he calls us his brothers, his sisters. And he's happy to do that. He's the complete opposite of the older brother in the story of the prodigal son. Hebrews 2, verse 11. He is not ashamed to call us brothers. What a verse that is. He is not ashamed to call us brothers. He could well be ashamed of us, couldn't he? We would understand completely if he would disown us. But he's not ashamed to call us brothers. So as members of the same family, we have the same father, we have the same older brother. We also have the same family likeness. We have the same family likeness. Any of you who have family siblings, you'll have probably heard at some point somebody commenting about the similarities there are between you. You and your brother and sister, you've got the same eyes, you know. You've got the same eyes. The way you talk, it's just like your brother. Oh, you're like peas in a pod. I can hardly tell you apart. And it's always a bit uncomfortable, isn't it? Because it's not rocket science. It's inevitable there will be some family likeness between siblings because you literally share much of the same genetic code, DNA. And just as that is true for literal biological siblings, so there should be an element of that between two people who have been born again into the family of God. And I'm sure you've experienced this, especially perhaps when you've traveled somewhere. I'm sure many of you know the experience of meeting another Christian, maybe from a vastly different background, culture, maybe different language completely. And yet, instantly, you can find a sense of belonging and togetherness, and fellowship is the word. Now, often the Holy Spirit gives an extraordinary sense of mutual love and warmness and acceptance. So even if you've only known them an extremely short time, you find that you've more in common with them than you do with the unbelieving neighbor you've lived with your whole life, or your unbelieving family member that you've known your whole life. Because there's this family likeness between brothers and sisters in Christ. Kinsmanship. It's not that you're robots, it's not that you're clones, but there's a family likeness, a connection that goes deeper than any earthly relationship. Do you feel the weightiness of this, friends? As brothers and sisters, we're members of the same family. Despite all of our differences, we have so much in common. For one, we have the same Father in heaven. We have the same older brother. We have the same family likeness. But someone might respond, so what? What difference does this make, brother, sister, big deal? What difference does this make to me in my day-to-day life? Well, let's think secondly. As brothers and sisters, we are to behave towards each other in a certain way. As brothers and sisters, we are to behave towards each other in a certain way. Many of you this morning have physical, biological brothers and sisters. You don't need me to remind you, you didn't get to choose them. You don't get to handpick your physical family. Neither do you get to choose your spiritual family. And this is particularly true when it comes to the local church, our church family here. Because yes, there is a global sense to the family of God, but the overwhelming emphasis in the New Testament is on local gatherings of believers, church families. And this truth that we in Newtonards Reformed Presbyterian Church, that we are brothers and sisters in Christ together, that has enormous implications for the way we live, for the way we behave towards each other, for the way we talk about each other, for the way we pray for one another. Especially so right at the minute. Right at the minute. Let me mention three ways that all of this should work itself out in our relationships together. Three ways being brothers and sisters should change us and have an effect upon us. Firstly, we should love one another. They all begin with L, these implications. Firstly, love for one another. And this is maybe one of the things that has damaged the witness of the church so much in Northern Ireland, how the world from outside can look at the church and see example after example of church arguments and divisions and splits and dissensions. But this is to be our defining, distinguishing mark. Love for one another. Just think how countercultural it would be in a day and age when there is so much arguing, point scoring, finger pointing. John 13, verse 35. By this all people will know you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Not only that, it's one of the great ways we can know ourselves if we're true Christians, if we love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's not that we go around and pretend everyone's perfect. Christians are far from perfect. Christians can be tactless and insensitive and cruel. It's not that you pretend those things aren't true. But it's like your own literal family in many respects. We love one another in spite of those things, regardless of those things. It's loving as Christ loved us. In other words, it doesn't depend on our lovableness. It doesn't depend on lovableness. When Christ loved us, it wasn't because of anything lovely in us, was it? His love was gracious, undeserved. His love was costly, sacrificial. Jesus says we're to love one another in that way. And the past 4 and 5 months, friends, they have presented us with scores of opportunities to love one another. And I've been delighted to hear of loving actions, initiatives that have started up during lockdown within our church family. Expressions of love between brothers and sisters in Christ. And let me say, this is not the time to stop. This is not the time to fold that away and keep it for another time. Because if anything, as some of us begin to regather, and as some of us are not yet able to regather, if anything, now is the time that love must prevail. Choosing to stay at home may be easy for some, but I know for most that it's not easy at all. And they would love nothing more than to see their brothers and sisters in the Lord and to worship together again. And out of love, friends, we here, we should be considerate to those who have had to remain at home. And I would encourage you to reach out to them, to contact them, to talk to them, to assure them of your love. And even among those who are able to regather for worship, let's recognize there are a huge variety of emotions and feelings in doing so. And again, love must prevail. Love must prevail. There may be some who think that all of the procedures we have in place are ridiculous. Over the top, they say. Just trust in God, they say. And there will be others who think that we're far too hasty in regathering when there is still so much at risk. There will be some preferring to wear face masks. Some would rather not wear face masks. How should we think about all of this? What do the scriptures say? Well, the word face mask doesn't come up in the scriptures, but Romans chapters 14 and 15, those chapters are extremely helpful. Romans 14 and 15, Paul speaks of similar issues, not identical, but similar issues in the local church there. I would commend Romans 14 and 15 for your study. And on these kinds of issues, matters of conscience, Paul encourages the believers there to refrain from judging one another, to be accepting and welcoming of one another, to live in harmony with one another, to be considerate of one another, effectively to love one another. Loving your brothers and sisters in Christ. Romans 12, verse 10 reads, love one another with brotherly affection. Or 1 Corinthians 16, verse 14, let all that you do be done in love. And friends, that should be our guiding principle. That should be our guiding principle, love for one another. These procedures will not be in place forever. And sooner or later, in the will of God, we're going to get past COVID-19. And when all this is behind us, one of the things that will remain most in our memories, and one of the things that will have a lasting effect in our witness and our evangelism, is how we loved one another. How did we love one another? So as brothers and sisters in Christ, especially in this phasing back in period, we should show love to one another. Then there should be loyalty towards one another. Loyalty towards one another. Now, loyalty is almost an endangered virtue today. Gone are the days when you stick with the same bank forever, or you stick with the same electricity provider forever. It's so easy to switch now that it's almost expected you will at some point. Loyalty is fast becoming a forgotten trait. It's the same in families too, in many respects. Young people will quite readily devote more loyalty to their friends than to their parents. A boyfriend or girlfriend will often receive more loyalty than a brother or sister. And so what you find very often is that people have no problem criticizing their families, running down their families, despairing over their parents, criticizing their brothers and sisters, breaking a confidence, shattering the trust. And sadly, this can creep into the church as well. But the scriptures would emphasize there ought to be a brotherly kind of loyalty between us friends. The kind of thing James speaks about. James 4, verse 11. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. That family language. Do not speak evil against one another, brothers. I think, sadly, we are far too quick in criticizing another brother or sister in the Lord. We're far too quick to run down a church session or a deacon board or another congregation or even another denomination for that matter. I'm not saying everybody's perfect. I'm not suggesting we blindly maintain loyalty, but I'm speaking about hurting and attacking another brother or sister in the Lord with your words, often behind their backs. Think about it. There's something deeply wrong if you find yourself constantly ridiculing the efforts of another brother or sister in Christ. And surely that, again, can be a particular temptation in these days, to think less of another brother or sister in the Lord, to criticize when you don't know all the factors, to judge other congregations, perhaps, or other church leaderships when you don't know all the thinking, all the discussions that have taken place. It seems to me society at large has become very judgmental, very critical, and Christians are very quick to join in. So let me encourage you. If someone starts complaining to you or grumbling to you about another brother or sister in the Lord, someone who's hurt them or offended them somehow, let me encourage you to stop them. To stop them and cut them off if necessary and to ask them, look, have you spoken to this person about this? Have you spoken to them about this? Because if not, they shouldn't be speaking to you about it. Matthew 18, verse 15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. What we mustn't do is grumble. What we mustn't do is grumble. James 5, verse 9. Do not grumble against one another, brothers. Do not grumble against one another. There should be this kind of loyalty between one another. Love, loyalty, and looking out for one another. A third implication of being brothers and sisters, there should be looking out for one another. This is something some of you will know from experience. Again, if you've biological siblings, your parents might have dropped you off at school or camp or a youth event, and one of the last things they might have said to you was something like, look after your wee brother, or keep an eye out for your wee sister. You just watch out for her. Some of us are still looking out for little brothers and sisters. That's what we're getting at here, that kind of thing. As brothers and sisters in the Lord, we're to look out for one another. It's a total opposite of the spirit of Cain. You remember Cain when he asked, Genesis 4, verse 9, am I my brother's keeper? He thought the answer was no, but in actual fact, the answer is yes. To some degree, we are our brother's keeper. As brothers and sisters, we have a responsibility to look out for one another. Galatians 6, verse 10, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those of the household of faith. Do you pick up the family language again? The household of faith. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, We have a duty, an obligation to one another, because we belong to the same spiritual family. And in this regard, let me encourage you over the summer months. This is not the time to stop looking out for one another. If anything, as personal finances get stretched, as job losses take effect potentially, as mental health issues worsen, as hospital waiting lists lengthen, if anything, more than ever, this is the time to be looking out for your brothers and sisters in the Lord. Whether by a phone call, or a letter, or an email, or a message, or a garden visit, or a small indoor gathering, or a shopping drop-off, or a book exchange, or the CD of the sermon getting dropped off, or a prescription getting picked up, or children getting looked after. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we should be looking out for one another. Do you see how practical, how relevant, how timely this all is? As Christians, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. That means we should love one another. It means we should have loyalty to one another. And it means we should look out for one another. The church is meant to be a place of unity, harmony. Doesn't mean we all think the same way in every issue, but like a symphony orchestra, in the midst of our differences, there should be tremendous harmony, unity. We're not a perfect family, sure. Every family has its own little things about it. But a day is coming when we will be ushered, friends, into the presence of a wonderfully perfect family. In our Father's house, with Christ our older brother, where we will live together in a great family reunion. No more distancing, no more restrictions, no more regulations, no more unease, no more criticism, no more falling out. With that prospect ahead of us, let us seek now to live like brothers and sisters. 1 John 3, verse 16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brothers. Let's pray together as we remain seated. Let's pray. O Lord, our God in heaven, how we thank you that we can come to you as children unto a Father. We thank you that you've made us recipients of sovereign, adopting love and grace, that you've caused us to be born again, that you've given us the gift of faith and repentance. You've brought us into your believing family, so that we're not only children of God, but we're brothers and sisters together in Christ. Oh Lord, help us not to belittle this truth. Help us not to undervalue it. Help us not to trod over it as if it's a minor thing. Lord, help us to treasure it. Help us to cherish it. And we pray that it may move us and change us, and that it may influence us, particularly in these weeks and months that lie ahead of us, that we would be people characterized by love, loyalty, this kind of looking out for one another. And, O Lord, that you would be pleased to work powerfully in the lives of loved ones who are not yet Christians, through the bonds of brotherly and sisterly love between us here. Lord, we pray for our brothers and sisters watching at home, and we pray that they may feel just as part of this, and that you would unite and strengthen these bonds all the more in these days, we pray. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. Well, let's come to sing together. And the words of Psalm 133 couldn't be any more appropriate. Psalm 133a. Psalm 133a. O see how good it is, it's pleasant is as well, when those who brothers are as one in unity do dwell. We'll remain seated to sing these words. 133a. We'll sing them quietly, please, and then after which I'll close with the blessing of God.
Oh, see how good it is, it pleasant is as well, when those who brothers are as one in unity do dwell. It's like the precious
receive the blessing of God. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.